it's interesting because I can't sing today, and we have like the best music today. It's so hard. All that comes out is a croak instead of a note. So as we move forward today, please think of me with grace because my brain has been on and not on all at the same time. So today we will wrestle with the gift of being thunderstruck. So what does this mean? What could being thunderstruck mean? Well, it may mean that we have been knocked down or shaken down to our core. It may mean that we've been blown over by something good or maybe something bad. Or it might mean that we finally get it after all the hints that God has given us. Being thunderstruck might happen just in our own living room, or it might be, you know what, today I need to go out for a walk and I need to do some thinking. And when you come back from this walk, you have been thunderstruck. And you are anew. You're a new person. It might mean, being thunderstruck might mean that you all of a sudden hear a song in your head and you know exactly what that song means. You've been thunderstruck. So, in the reading today from the book of Job, God seems to actually talk to people back then. Do you ever wonder, why did God talk to people back then? They always say, and then God said. But, you know, we sit around and say, God, why aren't we hearing your thunderous voice? We want to hear that thunderous voice. But it may not be that the ancients actually heard, they may have actually heard God's thunderous voice. Or it may be that this is their way of expressing their intuition or their aha moments. It might have been their way of making this thunderous voice seem so huge, this message so huge. Sometimes God moments or confirmations may slap you upside the head, as I've told you my story in the past God did to me. And that can be as unexpected as a clap of thunder on a summer day. So what if being thunderstruck is God's way of saying, what you can plan is too small for you to live. What you can live wholeheartedly will make plans enough. And this is a quote by David White. What if what you plan is too small for you to live? So, I think, and I'm going to say this sort of true and sort of sarcastically, but don't we all grow up thinking we're going to find the one true love, and then we're going to get married, and we're going to have a child or two or three or however many, and we're going to live happily ever after. Isn't this all of our dreams? Well, we know that isn't going to happen because there isn't one person on the planet who's been happily ever after, with or without a marriage, a kid, or anything else every day of their life. But we all have this dream of happily ever after. Now, you guys didn't talk back to me. There was a teenager at the last church at James Street who said, I never dream that. No way. So it's pretty funny. So one day I was at a conference, and I was talking with a woman, and we were talking about our faith journey. And she shared her part of her faith journey with me. And she said that she had that dream. She had a dream of growing up and getting married and having children and living happily ever after. And so she did. She went to college, and she found the love of her life at college, and they got married, and then within a year they got pregnant, and everything seemed wonderful until, during her pregnancy, she found out that her husband was cheating on her. And she was thunderstruck by this. This took her to her core. But she grew up believing, because her family and her church had told her, marriage is forever. So you need to figure it out. So that's what she did. She said, okay, this is bad. I'm not happy about this. But I'm going to make amends with him, with me, with God. And I'm going to carry on because that's what I've been taught. My family and my church says I need to stay married forever. So life goes on. And then the child is born. And when the child turns 2, once again, she finds that her husband is cheating on her. And she says, I can't do this. I can't live my life like this. And she was shaken to the core because her core belief was, you stay married forever. And she couldn't stay married forever because she couldn't live like this. And so she filed for divorce. And as she was going through this divorce, she realized, wow, one of those core beliefs that I have been taught by my family and church was wrong. It didn't apply to me. What else might I believe could be wrong? And she started to think about all the things she had been taught and all the things she believed and all the judgment that her family and church had put on others. And she decided that she needed to really rethink this. And so all those judgments about divorce, single parents who have been married or never married, interracial marriages, same gender marriages, all these things she needed to rethink and really wrestle with because this took her down to the core. She was thunderstruck for sure. And so she decided that God's love is inclusive. It's not about judgment. And so she shifted everything in what she believed about God. And she it's kind of the whole saying that Pope Francis has, who are we to judge? She took that on. Who are we to judge? And she took on love, sharing God's love and inclusion. So, sometimes we're not thunderstruck to the core by something negative. Sometimes we are thunderstruck by a confirmation. And so, I have this picture up because when I was going to, three, four years ago, when I was going to check out Boston University School of Theology, when I decided to go to seminary, I went to go check out this school of theology and see how Boston was. And as I was driving from Syracuse to Boston, guess what? When you cross the Massachusetts line, this is what you see. Welcome to Massachusetts. And I started crying. I started crying because all those hints along the way, boom, hit me. And I knew that this is what I needed to be doing. And I'm not saying that this is what I needed to be doing because of seminary, but finally I'm crying. I always cry at James Street. Today I get to cry here. I was completing a family legacy. My grandmother grew up in Massachusetts, in a suburb of Boston called Watertown, Massachusetts. And so she wanted to go to college, but her family said, no, you're a woman, go find a husband. And so when she was 19, they shipped her off because they thought of her as an old maid at 19 or 20, and they shipped her off to Syracuse to go live with her old maid auntie in Syracuse. And so she met my grandfather in Syracuse, and there they remained. But My grandmother went to Syracuse University. She worked there and got her degree there in her 60s. And she got her degree in religion. So I felt like this Welcome to Massachusetts was not only about seminary, but also about this family legacy of pursuing religion and faith in our family, in our feminine line. And so in addition to this sign, I also saw this sign, use your blinker. So, park your car, use your blinker. So, have you been thunderstruck? We all long to hear God's voice. We long to hear this confirmation. We say, God, be with us. God, teach us. God, we need you with us. God, tell me what to do. Guide me. Help me. All these prayers we have, longing to hear God's voice. But at the same time, in that same breath, God, tell me what to do, we are terrified to hear God's voice, because when we do, guess what? That usually means we need to change or shift or do something we're not sure how or what we could even ever do. And so this thunderous voice is both comforting and terrifying. It's scary to know that things are uncertain. Yet many of us cannot imagine standing still. So all we can do is keep calm, because we've been thunderstruck and we will be thunderstruck again. Amen.